Well, tonight is the 20th, November the 20th, 2016, and you've joined us for the evening service of the Pineville House Church. And we are glad that you were able to tune in tonight. Hopefully you will be edified by sharing this fellowship time with us. The first selection tonight is 226 out of the Old School Hymnal, taken from Song of Solomon 210, The Bride of Christ. The Church of Christ we have today, a blessing from the Lord. He gave her to His Son to save and take her home above. The turtle above is singing now. The winter's past and gone. Rise up, my fair one, come away. I'll take you home to stay. She was his bride before she knew she had a husband dear. And when for her his choice was made, he caused her to draw near. When she adorned with all his grace shall be exalted there, no queen with all her glory here was ever half so fair. The turtle dove is singing now, the winter's past and gone. Rise up, my fair one, come away, I'll take you home to stay.
334, To God the Only Wise, the Old School Hymnal.
334, To God the Only Wise. You want to start that, Mark?
Yeah.
To God the Only Wise, our Savior and our King, let all the saints below the skies their humble praises bring. 'Tis His almighty love, His counsel and His care, preserves a saint from sin and death and every hurtful snare. He will present His saints unblemished and complete before the glory of His face with joy divinely great. Then all the chosen race shall meet around the throne, shall bless the conduct of His grace and make His wonders known. To our Redeemer God wisdom and power belong, immortal crowns of majesty and everlasting songs.
Okay, page 45, Psalm 89a has been selected by Rosette, page 45, Psalm 89a.
The loving kindness of the Lord forever I will sing. Thy faithfulness to every age my mouth in song shall bring. For mercy shall be built, said I, forever to endure.
and in thy hand thy faithfulness thou wilt establish sure. I made a covenant with him who is my chosen one. Today with whom my servant is, what I have sworn be done. Thy seed I will establish firm, forever to remain, and unto generations all, thy throne I will maintain. The praises of thy wondrous Lord, but heaven shall express, in the assembly of the saints, thy faithfulness confess.
Okay, let's sing. The final one we'll sing is 227 before we switch over to the other part of the service. House of the Lord.
You may sing of the beauty of mountain and dale, of the silvery streamlet and flowers of the vale, but the place most delightful this earth can afford is the place of devotion, the house of the Lord. You may boast of the sweetness of day's early dawn, of the sky's softening graces when the day is just gone, but there's no other season or time can compare with the house of devotion, the season of prayer. You may value the friendships of youth and of age, and select for my comrades the noble and sage, but the friends that most cheer me on life's rugged road are the friends of my master, the children of God. You may talk of your prospects of fame or of wealth, and the hopes that I'll flatter the favorites of hell, but the hope of bright glory of heavenly bliss, take away every other and give me the bliss. Ever hail, blessed temple, abode of my God. I will turn to thee often to hear from his word. I will walk to the garden with those that I love, and delight in the prospect revealed from above.
Dear Lord, we pray that you would help us tonight. Pray that you would open your word to us. Pray that you would grant unto us your Holy Spirit to lead and guide and direct our thoughts. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Scripture in the fourth chapter. Okay, we're back with you. We got interrupted there by a phone call. We're looking tonight in the fourth chapter of Philippians. I'm just going to read through this chapter and then make a few comments about it. And, you know, before I do that, I want to just say that, you know, there are many things that we don't understand as Christians. We don't understand why certain things happen. We don't understand why God brings certain things into fruition in our lives. You know, we don't understand these things. And we may never fully understand them. But God is the one who has the grace to sustain us whatever we have to go through in life, God will preserve his people, because we are given promises in the Bible to state that he will preserve his people. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, and long for my joy and crown, so steadfast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labor with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, and now at last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicating with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but that I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, have received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptably well-pleasing to God. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Salute every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren which are with me greet you. All the saints salute you, chiefly that are of Caesar's household. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Well, this is an interesting, this is the last chapter of Philippians, and we see that Paul is addressing his brethren, his dearly beloved. And he also says something very interesting in the third verse, which frankly I don't fully understand. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel. I don't understand what that actually meant, unless he's speaking of the women that maybe, I don't know, provided meals, maybe prayed for him, maybe encouraged him, and so on. But it says labored with me in the gospel. Now, I've heard people try to make that a position for women preachers and all kind of things. But the reason we know that that cannot be correct is because that goes, Paul would not go against his own teachings. He would not go against his own teachings regarding women. And I want to go back now to what he says to regarding the women. And a lot of people think I have things against women, and I don't. I don't like it when women try to take over. I don't like it when women try to rebuke men over doctrinal things in a public place. I think it's totally out of hand. I don't think it's biblical. Do you? But anyway, I want to look at a few passages here. And he says, we know where these passages are. They're both in Timothy and in Titus. We'll look at both of those passages tonight. And it's now, we're living in a day and time when this is not even taught anymore. It's totally thrown out the door. It's considered, you know, that was then, this is now philosophy. When you start getting into this doctrine of, what is being taught. Now in the second, in 1 Timothy chapter 2, he says, starting with verse 9, in like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel. Well, we could spend some time there, couldn't we? We believe that women are supposed to adorn themselves in modest apparel. People say, well, you're going to get the legalism. No, I'm just quoting here the teachings of the Apostle Paul. Okay. With shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Let the women learn in silence with all subjection. I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but be in silence. Now, Paul says here that he does not allow women to teach or usurp authority over men. Well, do we see that today? Do we see where women are not allowed to teach or usurp authority over men? No, I don't see it. I see women are the quickest to rebuke a man in a public setting, and it doesn't matter whether it's fellowship dinners or it doesn't matter where it's at, they're the quickest to usurp authority over the man. He says, for Adam was first formed, then Eve. How many times have I heard women correct their husbands in front of other men and other women in fellowships? Is that right? No. They're not to be usurping the authority over the man. Now, this is not teachings that you hear today, is it? You don't hear these teachings today because we see that women are now ordained as pastors. They are ordained as elders. They're speaking out. They're trying to get on an equal stance with the teaching of doctrinal things and discussion of doctrinal things. And it's even now starting to creep into churches we never dreamed that it would be creeping into. Why is that? You know, there's a passage in the Old Testament that says the women rule over them, you know. And so we see that this is a teaching right now that is not, it's not well received. It's not well received because we know that women, we have this whole feminist movement, and anyone that tries to take a stand for what Paul taught, they want to go back to Philippians and say, well, Paul labored with women, and women labored with Paul in the gospel, and Paul is teaching something totally different. They're not supposed to be involved in doctrinal teachings and so on. And now we see that this is something that is just so prevalent, isn't it? You know? And so, I don't know where our society is going to end up, because we have become so feminized. Our culture has become so feminized. Now, in Titus, the second chapter, we read, verse 1, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, and patient. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, nor given too much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Well, how many women do you know that are obedient to their own husbands and are chaste and discreet keepers at home? You know, how many women do you know like that? And, you know, how many women do you know that would subscribe to the teachings of Paul when he says that they are not to be usurping authority over men? How many women do you know that are upholding Paul's doctrine regarding how women are supposed to be? They are not to be slanderers. Okay. It says there's many things that are taught that are just, it seems like they're just being just thrown out the window. Seems like that they just have no stance in our society left. And so the question I have is, why is this? Why has our society gone down this road? You know, I've shared this once before. I was on a a Bible study, internet Bible study program one time, I was invited to this Bible study, and I went on it, and the women were running the Bible study. They were totally dominating the study. That's not biblical. That's not biblical. You know? And they were questioning what the teacher was teaching. And here he says, let the women learn in silence with all subjection. I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. So that's what I have on my mind tonight, is this teaching that people say, well, he labored with women in the gospel. Women labored with him in the gospel. Well, they weren't teaching. They weren't usurping authority over the man. They were subscribing to his teachings, because Paul is not duplicitous in his stance regarding this issue. And we see people like Charles Finney, Susanna Wesley, and John Wesley going down that road where they started. John Wesley even endorsed Phoebe Palmer to preach in front of thousands of people. And we see Charles Finney pushed the ordination of women. And we see that Susanna Wesley started the whole thing with her Bible studies, you know, at home, circumventing her husband's authority. And so there's a warning going out to those that are starting to usher in. You know, I remember in the Church of God Holiness, how that I'd go to Wednesday night prayer meetings and they'd have women get up and testify. And oftentimes it got into little sermonettes. It'd start out being a testimony and it'd gravitate into all kind of crazy stuff. The rabbit trails that those women went down. And that's the way it starts. That's the way it starts. And so let us think on these things. Do we have any final selections tonight that we can, let's sing number, in the old school hymnal, let's sing 471. Bride's Mansion. Bride's Mansion. 471. I have a feeling from inside, my Lord is coming to his bride. And when he comes, I want to see the glorious meeting it will be. He has a mansion where they'll meet, to part no more, the thought is sweet. And they together ever stay, in that sweet home of endless day. Since he has gone, she's lonely here, and often feels the burning tear. She is now waiting, not in vain, for her dear Lord to come again. And when he comes, the angels say, she has no guilt to wash away. For all her sins, even the dross, were put away on Calvary's cross. And now in mansions bright and fair, she'll ever live with him up there. No sorrows there can ever come, eternally with Christ at home. He has a mansion where they'll meet, to part no more, the thought is sweet. And they together ever stay, in that sweet home of endless